Shall we go to our Lord in prayer? It is our time of thanksgiving in this country, Lord, and we truly are thankful and grateful for all that you have blessed us with, for family, for shelter, for friends, and for community, and most of all, for salvation. We put also before you our concerns and ask you to watch over our members who are not with us, and particularly those who are traveling for the holidays. May they arrive safely and return them to us safely. We pray for our pastor and be with her as she travels, and we look forward to her return. We ask you to be with our members who find themselves not feeling well and in the hospital. Let them know that you care. Let them feel your loving arms around them. And help us to remember, to stay in touch, to drop by, to make the phone call. Because we are one, a family. We ask you to bless our nation and our world. It is torn with strife. It is also full of joy. We understand both. We tolerate one. We wish for more of the other. We ask all of this in the name of your Son, who in his wisdom taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 15 through 21. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and its incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's nice to be home. I have to tell you that Jan and I did not plan the music that we would play it before you sang it because we think you don't know what you're doing. There are just only so many good Thanksgiving hymns that we can use, all right? And this is Thanksgiving Sunday, and we like the hymns, and we plan to make the best of it, which we did. I know this weekend that Ohio State plays Michigan. It's one of my favorite games. I get to root against both teams, and I'd be joyous if they both lost. So it's a fun weekend for me to cheer when somebody does badly on either side. All right. Americans commonly trace the Thanksgiving holiday to a 1621 celebration at Plymouth, where the settlers held a harvest feast after a successful growing season. Autumn or early winter feasts continued sporadically in later years, first as an impromptu religious celebration, and later as a civil tradition. The pilgrims celebrated at Plymouth for 3 days after their first harvest, almost 400 years ago. The exact time is unknown, but it's believed the event occurred sometime between September 21st and November 11th in the year 1621. The accounts of that time do not identify this as a Thanksgiving observance. Rather, it was a celebration of the harvest. The celebration included 50 pilgrims, all who were left of the 100 who had landed, and 90 Native Americans who were invited as guests. The feast was cooked by the four adult pilgrim women and their daughters who had survived the previous winter. That's all. Of the 50 who survived, only 8 or 9 were women. Our Thanksgiving Day is a holiday celebrated in the United States on the fourth Thursday in November. It became an official holiday during the Civil War in 1863. President Lincoln proclaimed a national day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwells in the heavens, to be celebrated on the last Thursday of the month of November. While in this century it seems to get lost among the chaff of materialism, Thanksgiving is still an important way stop to life. To stop and give thanks is a needed respite for all of us. 2 Samuel in the 22nd chapter says, "Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name." You and I are living in a society that fails to show gratitude, as we should, each and every day. That is true in the realm of our relationships with one another, and also true of Christians toward their Heavenly Father. It seems that many people think everyone else owes them something, rather than seeking to give something lasting and eternal to someone else. This is an egocentric society, or what some have called the me, my, and mine generation. I want to talk about thanks for five. There are several things that children of the living God for which we should be thankful. First, you and I should be thankful for our faith. Where would you and I be today if it were not for our faith in God? First of all, faith, our faith, is a life-changing faith. When we trust Christ as Lord and Savior, it changes our lives forever. You all know that. I'm preaching to the choir. They're out there too. You all know that. Or as my friends in the South would say, all you all know that. Secondly, our faith is a life-charting faith. It is the person who has faith to trust God to chart out the direction of his or her life. Yes, I know each and every one of you is convinced that you are the best GPS for your life. But I have learned that sometimes recalculating is actually worth listening to. And have you ever noticed that the recalculating lady gets testier the more you make her do it? Our oldest son has a GPS. His mother's riding with him. It's not saying anything. She says, "Stephen, your GPS isn't working." He says, "Yes, it is. I just don't need another woman's voice telling me how to drive." I want you to know that our faith is a life-charting faith. There is a GPS out there, and we need to listen to it. Also, faith is life-challenging. Faith will trust when it does not fully understand. Trusting when you do not fully understand. I want you to think about Abraham. Abraham trusted God and left his entire home and took everything he had and all his family under the direction of the Lord to go where he had no idea. Now I think about that. Abraham was in his late 70s, early 80s when he did this. I am terrified of the thought of merely having to clean out the shed where the lawnmower lives. Never mind having to move the entire house at my age. Would we, at the request of the Lord, uproot everything we have and go where he wants to send us? Would we do that? Faith is life-challenging. Abraham could. He could do and dare for God. Secondly, we need to be thankful for our family. It is within the family that we find true fulfillment in living. We really do. We celebrate Thanksgiving with family, even when they are not all sitting around the table. We celebrate Thanksgiving with family. Each of us has memories of good family Thanksgiving gatherings, as well as all families have the legends of the Thanksgiving lowlights. We won't share them. You all know what they are. Family can be the most rewarding and most painful part of our lives because they're just that, family. So even though she's not your nicest sister-in-law, she's still family. Even though he's your most annoying brother-in-law, he's still family. And you find it difficult to believe that your cousin actually married that guy. They're still family. Be thankful for our family. Third, we need to be thankful for our friends. An old Puritan, Charles Bridges, said, "If you have found one friend in a lifetime, you have found a great treasure." A great treasure. I have found more than one, and I am blessed. Last month, Joyce and I went to Philippi, West Virginia, to Alderson Broaddus University, to attend my 50th college reunion, where I met eight old guys, right? And their wives. There they were, eight old guys and their wives. We can both honestly say that it was a wonderful weekend. And we can say that after a half a century, it was like we were never apart. Away from one another, yes. But apart, no. It just was not allowed to happen. We literally picked up conversations that we haven't had in 50, 25, 40, and 5 years, where we left off. We shared with each other where our lives have taken us and the good things and the not so good things that have happened to us. A friend is one who is there standing by your side when everyone else has left and forsaken you. A friend is a great treasure. Now for the flip side. To have friends, you have to make yourself friendly. Sure, sometimes your head will say, I just don't want to do that. I just don't want to do that. Friends call and they want you to go out. It's snowing. It's icy. You haven't got out of your pajamas. Your brain is screaming, no, no, no. But your heart, it knows better. And so you go. And you return, refreshed and renewed. Friends are a great treasure. Do everything you can to be one. Do whatever it takes to keep one. Fourth, be thankful for our foes. Wow, now we're changing pace, right? Faith, family, friends, that was easy. I can do that. Foes. Think of David. He found Saul, the king of Israel, to be a great foe. Now I know Gary has played guitar for years, and no one has ever thrown a spear at him while doing it, for which he will always be thankful. David, on the other hand, struck up a tune on the harp and dodged a spear headed across the room. In spite of all of these trials, David honored Saul and left Saul in God's hands. I can hear you thinking, John, I don't really have any foes. I get along with everybody. And I'm sure you do. Let me tell you what a foe is. Foes are people who keep you on your toes. Got that? Foes are the people who keep you on your toes. You do not get as careless in your behavior when you know they are there. And you know they are looking and trying to find fault with some of the things in your life and perhaps with your ministry. Foes are the people who keep us on our toes. You know what else they do? Foes are the people who keep us on our knees. We tend to seek God more when we feel the pressure is the greatest. They keep you on your toes. They put you on your knees. Foes are people we should be thankful for. In all honesty, when you think back, they have kept your life from being dull. Now, some of you think, I'd just thank God for dull. Not really. Friends and foes, family, faith, and one last thing. Be thankful for our fortress. Psalm 91 says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. A fortress is a place of exceptional security or a stronghold. It is a well-constructed place. In the valleys and the hills of Romania, where I was last month and earlier this month, many of the villages are now cities that were initially constructed around a fortified church in the 13th and 14th century. Some of these churches sit on hills, others are located on a river, but the villages built up around them. And in the center of these villages and in these communities and in these large cities, you will find the remains and more often than not, the still standing actual church. Part of our community was constructed around an outpost fort named Fort Ball. And no, the fort did not have a pizza buffet. Just so you know. A bird buffet, maybe, but not a pizza buffet. A fortress is a place of refuge, a place to come away from foes and the events that nibble at our lives. A place of security. Do you have a fortress? Do you have a place you go? Is there a place in your house where you especially go to pray? Do you see it as more safe and secure than any other part of your house? Are there places you visit around the world and the country and the state and the community that you feel safer and more at home? You understand then the concept of fortress and the need for a place of security. Rejoice and be glad for the security that the Lord offers you because of Calvary. Our security is not the place, it's what we do there and the relationship we have with the living God. Martin Luther, a man surrounded by foes and with a true life-charting faith, wrote a song that begins with, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing." So we have five things we would like to be thankful for. Faith, family, friends, foes, and the living God who is our fortress. As we enter the Thanksgiving holiday, for many a time of coming and going, may you never have to fly anywhere over Thanksgiving. You have no idea of all the true fun you will be missing in your life. And if you have to go through Chicago and a snowflake falls, you will be there for 30 minutes. If you have to go through Atlanta and a snowflake falls, you will be there for 3 days. A time of coming and going, a time of moving and sitting, and sitting. A time of eating, and eating, and eating. Thanksgiving. Remember that God is active in you, God is active through you, and God is active for you. Stop a moment and just say thanks. God knows the why.